Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with my wife, Erica Busey. We have several books that we want to let you know about today. Not necessarily going to provide great in-depth reviews, but we have at least three books before us. We just want to make you aware of them, who they're by, what they're about, and let you know whether or not you want to look further. We hope maybe to come back in the future for some lengthier reviews, but at the moment, just offering a few book notices. Erica, what's on deck for today?
Okay, so I've got three books. They've been on my shelf for a while. I hope to get to them for review, but so that you don't have to wait any longer to get started, I'd like to let our listeners know about them. The first one is called The Disciple-Making Parent. It's by Chap Bettis. We met Chap at the Gospel Coalition last April, I think. So this says, it is a comprehensive guidebook for raising your children to love and follow Jesus Christ. There's also an audiobook available. I have recently started listening to audiobooks. I find that as a busy mom, I have more time to listen to a book than I do to read this. So this is actually the next book in my queue for listening to. But anyway, the inside of the books has multiple parts. Part one, foundational issues. Part two, learning, talks about the power of example, living out the gospel at home, the power of the gospel, presenting the good news to your children, the power of the heart, connecting to the most important part of your child, the power of the word, nourishing your children with the life-imparting scriptures, the power of purpose, teaching your children to deny worldliness and live for the kingdom, the power of prayer, talking to your father on behalf of your children, and then part three, becoming convinced, the power of apologetics, teaching your children the reasons for your hope, the power of friends, teaching your children about the influence of their companions, the power of seeking God, helping your children go further up and further in. This is a really in-depth book, and I think his...
How many pages is it?
The ballpark. Almost 300.
And who published it?
Diamond Hill.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
No, neither do I. Is there a plate on the back or anything that says...
Executive Director of the Apollos Project, a ministry devoted to helping parents disciple their children. For the previous 25 years, he was lead pastor in a New England church plant. He also wrote Evangelism for the Tongue-Tied and other family resources. He and his wife, Sharon, have four adult children. I'm pretty sure that he quit what he was doing and formed an organization just to promote this book and to be a speaker on this topic. And this is something that he's promoting to churches as maybe a program that churches would take their families through.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about what he has to say in that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, the next one, this is at least a year old, but always relevant, called Let the Children Worship by Jason Halopoulos, who is associate pastor at University Reformed Church in East Lansing, Michigan. This is a really small book. It's a little bit bigger than a booklet, 94 pages. Pretty small page size.
Is it a Christian Mentor? Who published?
This is Christian Focus.
Christian Focus. That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And they put out good stuff. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really timely and needed book, especially for Reformed churches who we would expect would have their children in the worship service with them. Mm-hmm. But really, that's pretty countercultural if you look at broader evangelicalism. Children are not included in the worship service.
We frequently get asked about that. In, you know, suburban Chicagoland, where people either email us or call us, or when they visit, they say, well, what do you do with the children? You know, and people generally have the expectation that there's going to be some other activity. And sometimes they're pleasantly surprised that we want them in the service.
Yeah. And that's, you know, there are some difficulties involved in that.
That's why we have a cry room.
As a mother of three small children.
Oh, wait. We're not supposed to talk about that stick. No, we don't want to stick.
Yeah, nor do we stuff children under the pulpit like I heard a story about once.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is difficult to have children in the worship service, but it's so worthwhile. So let me just read you the table of contents quickly of this book. Why does the church worship? What should church worship look like? Let the children worship. Blessings and benefits. Wisdom for parents. Wisdom for church leaders. Not so helpful replacements and objections. And then an appendix with testimonials and helpful resources. So I'm about halfway through this book. He has made a good case for why the church worships in general. Why should children be included? But he's also not going to pretend that it's super fun and easy every Sunday to have your children with you in the worship service, because let's be honest, it's often quite difficult. Kids cry, they get upset, their brother touches them. You know, people are up and down, dragging kids out. There's always that balance of, am I more distracting if I'm in here with this kid or if I get up? So he touches on all that stuff and acknowledges that it exists, but his ultimate focus is the long-term reward and benefits of having your children in the worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that. You know, we have our four-year-old sings the doxology and prays the Lord's Prayer corporately because he's used to being in the worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And when our oldest started preschool at the Christian school, he had no problem sitting through a chapel service as a four-year-old because he was used to sitting through worship service every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And his teacher even said to me, oh, I knew that Derek would be okay. I knew I would have one kid at least who could sit through a chapel service. So, yeah, I think this is a good book, an important one that a lot of people might like to read, might be helpful for churches, good resource.
Yeah, I'm excited about that book. Thankful that we have it. What else do we have? Another book?
Yeah, so the other one is actually a new series from Christian Focus Publications, and they have a new series for women. It's called The Good Portion, not to be confused with the OPC's recent book, Choosing the Good Portion. Mm-hmm. But this is a...
Both of them come from the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is a series. It's a 10-part doctrine series written specifically for women. The first one is on scripture. It came out in June, and it's by Carrie Fulmar. Her husband is a pastor of the United Christian Church of Dubai. I don't have any experience with her.
Mm-hmm.
I generally like things from Christian Focus. So we have this book is going to be reviewed by Tracy Shannon. So there will be an in-depth review that gets posted on this one.
She's written several reviews on the Reform Forum website before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first book in the series is Scripture. And then the next one that comes out is on the doctrine of God. And that is due in June 2018. And that is written by Rebecca Stark, who lives in Yukon, Canada.
That's hilarious. The reason that's funny is because I just watched a show with my kids with these people that were trapping up in the Yukon Territory during the winter when trapping season was going. So not a lot of people up there.
Yeah. So,
but the gospel still needs to go up there too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in these. You know, Camden, you've said before, you know, why do we need another book on the doctrine of God or the doctrine of Scripture?
Are you calling me out?
I'm just saying. But, you know, why do we need one specifically written toward women? Because there have been other books that are kind of similar in their scope and purpose.
Right.
But I do think they have a place in that, you know, a women's Bible study leader might not feel comfortable picking up a weightier book on doctrine, but you can go to something like this and say, oh, this must be okay for a women's Bible study.
Right.
It has kind of like a pretty font on the front of the book, and I think it's okay for us to read.
Come on. All right. Here's my opinion on this. It's an opinion and a mild conviction. if the only thing that is, that distinguishes the book, I mean, the book, let's pretend that the book, a book in question, is fundamentally, for all intents and purposes, identical to another book at the same level that already exists. Yet the only thing different about the new book is that it was written by a woman versus written by a man. Why do we need that book? That's my point.
Fair enough.
The book shouldn't be written just because a woman is writing it. That is not at all for me to say that there isn't we shouldn't offer a warm welcome to women writing theology and systematic theology. I warmly welcome that. I think that that is a great thing. We should have more of it. And I would love if more women's groups were studying theology. But I also want women's groups to know that they can read theology books that are not written by women.
Sure.
And, now this might be a little bit more provocative, there can be many things for men's groups or just men to read theology or biblical studies materials written by women. I don't personally, although I'm a complementarian and feel very strongly about, you know, men being called specifically to be church officers, and women are not called or gifted by God specifically to serve an ordained office. I don't think at all me reading, you know, women, I read a lot of women who write in biblical studies, particularly, not so many in theology, although I do read some Catholics and liberal women specifically that are writing theology. And then I grow from that. I'm edified by that. So I just find it unhelpful when we're reading specifically because of gender or sex. I think the two are related. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that's my only point.
And I'm going to say, you know, I think this is a good starting point for a Bible study group. A book like this, you're probably going to be able to read. I would hope be able to digest it yourself. And maybe it would be a starting point. And you could move on to more difficult matter if that was something that your group wanted to do. Maybe even one or two people would want to dive into something a little bit more in depth after you read this. But it does seem like it would be great for ladies to study doctrines more specifically. So
that's a good thing.
Looking forward to it. And always looking for more resources for women's Bible study. Although, like you said, they don't have to be just books written by women.
Yeah. Like what would happen if we took like John Murray's Redemption Accomplished and Applied? It's a spectacular book. And just put a pink cover on it with flowery font and, you know, just didn't put the name on it or something.
No, you could say Redemption Accomplished and Applied, but then you would need like some little subheading that tailored it to women. Like, I don't know. I can't even come up with anything on the fly. But
oh, man.
Just something tailored to your life or your home.
God's grace for the ordinary moments of life, something like that. There have been a lot of books recently. I've seen several that are, you know, speaking about the gospel as applied to, you know, the mundane, specifically homemaking. That's a big deal.
It's true. There's a lot of mundane stuff in homemaking, and lots of women are thinking about that as they're washing dishes and doing endless laundry. And
praise the Lord for those books. Yeah. And, you know, we should be talking about those books, too. And Gloria Fuhrman's got one. I can't recall. I just saw another one today. That type of thing. So
yeah, I also think it's really important for women to be steeped in scripture and to have a deeper understanding of doctrine, too, because the reality is we're the ones who are home all day most of the time with our children. And, you know, while I think the primary responsibility might lay on the father for, you know, overseeing the spiritual welfare of the home and training the children, the mom is with the kid all the time.
In a lot of homes.
Way more. In a majority. It's not every home, but in a lot of homes, moms are with their kids. And I think moms should have a good understanding of doctrine.
Just because the father has a God-given, you know, spiritual duty and headship to oversee doesn't mean he's doing all the work. In fact, he's not, in most cases, he's not doing a lion's share of the work. And so all the more reason that women should be discipled and sharpen themselves and, you know, do the day-to-day work moment by moment to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard a pastor who was speaking once talked about his mother giving him like pearls of scriptural wisdom. And it was like individual tidbits of Bible stories that were never related. And he didn't put them all together until much later in life. And I heard that and I thought, oh my gosh, I do not want to be the mom who does not connect the dots of redemptive history for my children.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
It would. And so just all goes to say, I think it's important for women to have a good understanding of doctrine. And I hope that this series, The Good Portion, from Christian Focused Publications, would be a nice tool to help women accomplish that.
What other resources have you been using recently in women's Bible studies and women's groups? Because you've done a few in over the last few years.
Well, right now, our daytime women's Bible study is going through Walking with God in the Season of Motherhood by Melissa Kruger. I have done this personally more than once. I've done it a couple summers myself just as a personal devotion. And I've always wanted to do it at church with a group. And we finally have enough families and ladies who can come to a daytime Bible study that we've been able to do that. I think it's just an amazing study, really helps a mom to focus on glorifying God and enjoying Him through all aspects of her life, focuses on identity in Christ. And then it looks at the fruits of the Spirit and how we can live those out in our motherhood. But it's also, it's good for anybody. I mean, we have seasoned moms who are part of our group whose children have left the home a long time ago, and they're benefiting a lot too.
Yeah.
Which is good. And then our evening women's Bible study is doing Jen Wilkins' study on the Sermon on the Mount. So we read Jen Wilkins' book, Women of the Word, a few years ago, and that kind of outlines a good method for studying the Bible on your own. And they're using one of her workbooks, which guides you through the Sermon on the Mount, which parallels, Camden, your sermon series in the morning. So you have all these ladies who are spending lots of extra time in the Sermon on the Mount.
Well,
keeping you accountable.
Keeping me accountable. Yeah, either that or I'm at odds with whatever they're learning in their Bible
study.
I don't think so. And you've also used some of the Knowing the Bible series from Crossway?
Yes. We did Acts, and I thought the format was great for a Bible study. It's a 12-week format, uses Crossway's ESV Study Bible as background. They have almost all of the books of the Bible. Some of them aren't quite available yet.
Well,
but I think they've
mine,
all been.
I think, might be the last one.
Oh, really?
I think then they're supposed to be out in March.
Okay.
So March 2018. So it's just 1 month from the time we're recording this. And there might be another volume or two that are coming out, but these are the last bunches.
Yeah. So I found that format to actually be really helpful. Most people have a study Bible or you can access it online. It's, depending on the book of the Bible, might be up to a couple chapters of reading per section, but it's usually about 5 to 7 questions. And then there are some brief sections of commentary at the end and then some application questions. We found as a group it was quite manageable for women to complete in advance, but also it's brief enough that you could come to the study without preparing.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, life happens.
And it's intentionally designed to be modestly biblical theological.
And definitely.
And depending on the author, you're going to get different levels of that. I'm very thankful Matthew Patton did the Deuteronomy version book. Mine is on Lamentations, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, your favorite books of the Bible. I'm working on a blog post for Crossway they wanted me to write one and kind of promotion of the book. Why study Lamentations, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah? So I'm kind of looking forward to this.
So why should we?
You have to read the blog post.
Okay.
Well, one, it's God's word, but, you know, there's some rich lessons, many, many rich lessons. I very much enjoyed writing that book. And they have a very tight and organized template. And you know, I didn't choose any of the headings. They've selected all that. I mean, I could choose the chapter titles. And I got to divide the text as I wanted, you know, in terms of what text is in what chapter. Largely, it falls down for mine. It just happened to work out for most of the chapters. It's one chapter of the Bible per chapter of the book. But I enjoyed working within those constraints. And the format that they've created and edited together, and every single volume has the same format. And every single one of them is 96 pages. And it has 12 chapters, an intro, a conclusion, and then 10 content chapters in between. They're very conducive, not only to Bible study groups, but I imagine for personal study could be very useful. Mm-hmm. But you could also use them for Sunday schools.
I think you definitely could.
It would be really nice and a good help for a Sunday school teacher to maybe use these and then go a little bit deeper, but also could use the books as handouts or just ask the questions to people from the lectern or whatever you're using.
You could definitely fit that into mm-hmm. a Sunday school hour. And I would say, you know, they're very consistent. Like, you could probably order any of them and be reasonably certain that you're going to get decent content.
Yeah, there aren't going to be any clunkers in there.
No, there's not. It's just predictable in terms of the format. It's actually, again, my friend Tracy Shannon who recommended it to me when we were talking about women's mm-hmm. Bible study, because I know Bethel OPC in Wheaton, Illinois, has used that for some of their women's mm-hmm. Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And that's been really good. And then, of course, the other one that we do sometimes, we really like Nancy Guthrie's mm-hmm. studies on her series on seeing Christ in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Well, good. There are many resources there. Thanks for bringing those books and giving notice. We'll have links to them and a little bit more information. You can follow up on the website and in the episode description for this particular episode. And you can find out more information about what we're up to and how to get in touch with us all at reformedforum.org. I want to thank everybody for listening. Tola Lege, pick up and read.